Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time in worship, we are glad that you have found your way here. A few ways that you can learn about how we are church together through worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. Check out your bulletin. It has a calendar and list of announcements. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate. Well, there's our first question. Such a good one. So follow Adam's lead. If you have a question, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder at the communion table following worship to receive any questions you might have. Friends, we've got a lot of great things going on here at GPC today and in the weeks to come. One announcement I'd like to make would be to invite you next Sunday to the Interfaith City Sing for Peace and Unity. We will join our Jewish, Christian, and Muslim brothers and sisters at 4 p.m., and we're meeting in school at in the parking lot of School 17. There's a flyer on the board right out here. If you're interested in going, let me know. We can carpool over together. All right, so let's hear about Women's Candlelight Dinner.
Good morning, ladies. This is the last day to get tickets for the dinner, which is on Tuesday night at the Whittier Party House. I'll be out in the fellowship hall selling tickets. The tickets are $21. We're also collecting for Willow, which used to be the alternative battered women's shelter. I'm looking for boxes to transport those. It starts at 6, and we'll be eating about 6:30. Hope to see you then. Thanks.
Thank you. Al?
Good morning. December is one of the months that we serve a St. Joseph's meal. It's the last one of the year. It's coming up this Friday that we'll do our food prep and serving on this Saturday. The sign-up bulletin went up sort of secretively last week, and not a lot of you have seen it by the looks of the sign-up. So it's very important, since we're going to be putting things together on Friday, that we get the food donations and the sign-ups committed this week. So after service, swing by the bulletin board and sign up for donating food, or it's a great opportunity in the Christmas season to come down and serve others. Sign up to come down and serve the meal Saturday at 10:30 in the morning down at St. Joseph's. So please take time to sign up for St. Joseph's. Thank you.
Thank you. Sally, and introducing our guest today.
I'm Sally Christensen. I don't know how you could have missed it, but there is such a phenomenal stack of gifts out in the hallway for Cameron Community Ministries. I have never had a year when every single tag was taken from the tree. So your generosity is amazing, and the Cameron community people are so grateful. Secondly, I want to let you know that we delivered 65 meals, swim meals, last Sunday. So once again, the amazing generosity of this congregation comes through. Third, we are having our alternative Advent market down in the fellowship hall today. As the bulletin and the harbinger say, it's the gift that gives twice, once to the person you're giving to, and once to the wonderful cause that you are supporting. And in that light, I would like to introduce Marilyn Seitz Pickett. She is one of our vendors today, representing Bead for Life. Wait till you see her stuff. It's amazing.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you so much for inviting me to come to your beautiful church here. It's a beautiful worship space. I want to thank you, Sally, for all the efforts you put forth. I know you did a lot of work behind the scenes and enabling us to come here today to represent Bead for Life. And thank you, Melissa, for inviting us to your Advent alternative Advent market. And of course, I want to thank Cheryl Taylor, our friend, also known as our financial guru, truth be told, for making this connection for us. My husband, Bill, and I are volunteers, community partner volunteers for Bead for Life. And I'd like you to just take a few minutes to just kind of try to put yourself in this scenario. Imagine that you and two of your close friends, perhaps a spouse, maybe somebody you're sitting in the pew with today, take a trip to Uganda. And while you're in Uganda, you happen to tour the crowded slums. When you're in the crowded slums, it just so happens that you come upon a woman by the name of Millie, who's sitting outside of her hut at the riverbed, rolling beads out of recycled paper and turning them into beautiful, colorful pieces of jewelry. As you chat with Millie, you learn that this is not a source of income for her, but her occupation, along with many of her sisters in Uganda, is working in the stone quarries, rock quarries, for 12-hour days under the hot Uganda sun, oftentimes with her children sitting around with her, working as well, trying to support a family, an extended family of 18 people, making 65 cents a day, which enables her to put one meal a day on the table for this extended family. And then think about a single mom who is HIV positive. She has four children, but she has an opportunity to have access to medication for her HIV. However, she heard that if she takes this medication, it'll increase her appetite, and then she's afraid that she won't be able to feed her children, so she opts not to take the medication. I'd like you to try to imagine a young teen mom who gives birth to a child with deafness. The husband at that time falsely accuses her of having relations with another man during their marriage. He insists that she gets rid of the baby because he feels that because her unfaithfulness, which was not true, was the cause of the deafness of this child. She can't even begin to think about abandoning her baby, so she flees with the child. She has nowhere to go, and there's no one there to help her, and she has no income. Then imagine a woman of four who is also HIV positive, and her husband dies. She finds upon his death that she has not inherited his farm and his business, but that his brothers have inherited it. And worse yet, they've also inherited her and her children, and she and her children will soon become victims of human trafficking. After hearing these horrific stories, you can't help but be filled with helplessness and hopelessness and think, what can I possibly do for these people? Can I send money? What can I do? They're way over here in Uganda, and I'm in the States. But then you think back to Millie, the person you met at the riverbed who was making these beautiful beads, and you wonder if there would be a market for this in the United States and maybe possibly help these lift these women out of the extreme poverty that they're living in. And that's actually exactly how Bead for Life started 12 years ago, by three remarkable women from Boulder, Colorado, who happened to travel to Uganda and through a chance encounter met Millie. And that's really a true story. All these stories I related are true. And that's how Bead for Life was founded. Bead for Life is headquartered in Boulder, Colorado. It's a nonprofit. And their mission is to eradicate poverty throughout the world. And they do this through buying the beads from the women and then making them available to people to purchase, such as you good folks here who I know are going to happen to fall in love with the beads. The bead makers are paid a salary, and now they've been able to purchase homes and provide food for their families. Their salaries would now be equivalent to that of a school teacher or a fireman. Now picture that, from 65 cents a day. With the net proceeds that are made from the beads and private donations, Bead for Life has taken it one step further, because they feel it's very important for these women to become independent and not dependent on their organization. So they also provide education and training programs for women to develop their own businesses. Not everybody is interested in rolling paper beads, and the market actually, quite frankly, has become saturated with it. So Beat for Life has developed this model of training these women to businesses of where their talents and their interests lie. So some women have started consignment shops, restaurants. There's actually three women who got into the forestry industry, and they have a lumber yard. They might have vegetable stands or farming. So there's all sorts of occupations that they're now able to do that are sustainable. Beat for Life has touched 46,000 people at this point, and they're currently extending their services beyond Uganda, and they're hoping to eradicate poverty in 10 years by reaching 1 million people. My husband, Bill, and I would be happy to tell you more about this. I'm sorry if I went over my 5 limit. I was going to put my timer on. But we're downstairs there to show you the beads, and if you want to learn anything more about it, we'd be delighted to tell you. And thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Thank you, Marilyn.
And now, friends, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God.
O God, let your light shine.
We kindle it with joy. When we feel lost and alone, we give thanks for the places we feel at home in your welcome.
Mary, spirit of joy, shone and magnified the Lord, and she would bear within her the promised child, Jesus, the light of the world.
Christ be our light, so that we may shine in your world today.
able for the call to worship. Our souls magnify the Lord. The Mighty One has done great things for us.
Holy is God's name.
Let us worship God.
For God is our light, shining from generation to generation.
Please join me in the prayer of confession. We give thanks, O God, that you are unchanging, that your concern for justice and righteousness was so strong that you came in human form to share that concern with us in person. We confess that all too often we hesitate to speak or act when we see people being treated unjustly. Forgive us, O God, for the times when we have been happy to hear the gospel without truly living it. Forgive us for placing our hope in others than the Christ child born in a poor stable. Our hope lies in the promise of your mercy, O God, extending to those who fear you from generation to generation. Heal, restore, and bless us. We pray for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please join me in the silent prayer of confession. Even now, yes, even in this very moment, God comes to us, bringing hope, bringing forgiveness, bringing grace as freely offered gifts to us. May we open our hearts to the God who is with us and receive the light that shines in our darkness.
Invite the children to quietly come forward so we can watch what's happening up here, too. The children will come forward. Come on. Good morning.
Thank you.
First reading of the word is taken from Isaiah 35, the first 10 verses. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away.
I have a friend who is going to come and talk with us today, and I'd like to introduce you to him. His name is David, and he's going to come share our time together. Come on forward, David. It's looking pretty cool, isn't it? I'm so glad you guys get front row for this. The rest of the congregation, for whatever reason, they like that back row, but they're missing it, aren't they? I know.
Is this on?
Good morning, David. It is.
I'm going to sit down with you guys. Oh. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. Wow, isn't this sweet? Look at this. I'll get out of your way. Does anyone know what we just saw be made?
Tell David.
It's a town, that's right. So, do you guys live in a town? Yes, I do too. So, we're going to come back to this. We'll let that sit for a second. So, I have a piece of paper here. And I'm no artist, and my handwriting is also very poor, so forgive me. This piece of paper has the word Advent in the middle. And in case you can't see the words or can't read them, they say presents, Christmas trees, cookies, and end of the semester. These are what I typically associate with Advent. They get me excited about the season. However, there's a word that I wrote up in the very top left corner, and I'm sure you can't read that or see that, and it says God. Too many times in Advent, I think we forget the true meaning. We associate presents and fun activities like cutting down a Christmas tree or baking Christmas cookies, and we forget why we're truly celebrating this season. This is for God. This is for the coming of His Son in human form, Jesus. Now, also, with our community and our town, I think they forget the true meaning as well. I think they often, too, associate things like the end of semester and end of finals with Advent. And I think that we can remind them of the true meaning by letting our light shine. When we interact with people in our community and we show them God's love through our actions, I think that can be just a little reminder of what Advent is truly about. So do you guys think that this week, when you guys go to school or when you guys see someone, you guys can show them God's love? Yeah, you think so? I'm going to try to do that as well. So can we pray really quick? Dear God, thank you. For Advent. Allow us to show your love through our light. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, David. And you all can head to Sunday school now. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promises he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." I admit that this time of year, preaching always feels a bit out of place. The Sundays of Advent into Christmas are when the gift of song, the singing of hymns, and the playing of music seem to take precedence as we gather together in worship. Songs in our lives play a powerful, even transformative role. We know that throughout human history, the singing of songs and music has been an important aspect of our worship. They help us find our voice with those around us, reminding us that we come to offer our voice to God. And those songs stay with us, perhaps even longer than the words of any one sermon might. When we gather our voices together, we sing songs, songs of lament to express our grief and our fear, so as to honor these deep and difficult emotions, and simultaneously to strip them of the power they might have to incapacitate us. But we also sing songs of praise and thanksgiving to unite us with the one to whom we lift our voices. And like we did today, we sing canticles of courage and promise, not only to name our hopes, but also to contribute to bringing them into being.
And we've heard in our own nation's history the rise of African American spirituals. Singing has also been an act of resistance. And one song in particular has caught my attention this Advent season. Our theme this year, Let Your Light Shine. It's a song I asked the choir to open us with in the introit. I know, we normally associate it with giggling Sunday school children holding up their little fingers, proudly proclaiming, and maybe a bit off-key, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Verse after verse, that little light stays up. And I've always thought it to be a children's song exclusively. Until recently, I heard an interview given by Vincent Harding not long before his death in 2014. Harding was one of the leading figures in the civil rights movements. He was a close friend, an occasional speechwriter for Martin Luther King Jr. And he shared about how that song, This Little Light of Mine, was sung by the voices gathered in Selma, Alabama, during Bloody Sunday and the marches across the Pettus Bridge. Harding said that that was so much a part of the way in which the songs try to encourage us, not simply to be reactors, so that instead of saying, you know, you governor, you no good politicians, we're going to do this or that to you, that the basic, the deepest words were, whatever you do, we're going to let our light shine. God gave it to us, and we're going to let it shine. And that determination, he goes on, to make our own action and our own commitment the focal point rather than a reaction to the moves of others was, I think, one of the most beautiful things about the singing. We're going to let it shine. And I confess, as of late, I find myself drawn into my own reactions to the moves of others, which isn't always the most helpful place to be in. Just waiting for someone, the next thing that they're going to say or going to do. Of course, this has political connotations, but it also has associations with family and friends. This time of year brings about all sorts of difficult emotions. And people being people, we don't always choose the healthiest reactions to other people's behaviors to share our feelings. And it's hard not to get drawn in over and over again just to reacting to others and forgetting about what's important to me, what God has given me, who God has created me to be, that light that can shine, this little light of mine. How am I going to let it shine? And what a gift that the Gospel of Luke shares with us in revealing the ways that people, characters surrounding God's incarnation, are determined to make their own actions and commitments, their faith and their values, what God has given to them, the focal point, rather than just reacting to the circumstances that are around them. And they do so in song. These circumstances surrounding Mary and Elizabeth, oh goodness, they are so intense. The poor peasant girl and her aging cousin Elizabeth living in these poor, small Jewish communities that are being overshadowed by the Roman towns and powers and occupation. Their situation is ridiculous. Impossible, really. Two women, one too old to bear a child, and the other so young, she's not even married. And yet here they are called to bear children of promise through whom God would change the world. And they probably knew how little the world would pay attention to them, tucked away in that hill country of Judea, far from the courts of power and influence. They knew how hard life was under Roman oppression, and yet faced with the long odds of their situation, they didn't retreat or apologize or despair, or even react immediately to the situation at hand. Instead, they chose acts of resistance. Mary, in particular, she sings. She sings of their confidence in the Lord's promise to upend the powers that be and reverse the fortunes of an unjust world and lift up all those who feel oppressed. That when your back's against the wall and all you see looks grim, one of the most unexpected and powerful things that you can do is to let your light shine. And so she sang. And one of the reasons that Mary can sing this way about the future birth of her child, is because she repeats the songs of her childhood, of her heart, of her faith, of God's restoration that has been sung for generations, from the song of Hannah in the days before King David and the 1,000 years before Christ, the songs of the psalmist. We hear again and again, God's work in the world consists of setting things right, of shining in the midst of the darkness. And so Mary sings. She sings her hopeful resistance because she sees the birth of her son as the beginning of the fulfillment of that hope that she and her family and all the people who came before her have been singing about. To sing the light in the darkness. And in the same interview with Dr. Harding, he goes on to tell the story about the ways that when people let the light of God's love shine in the world, those lights become light that can help others. Dr. Harding tells the story of Gene, a young man who turned out to be a leader of a drug-running crew in his neighborhood. And Gene said that he really felt that one of the reasons why he had gone in that way, that he had gone not trying in any way to excuse himself, was the fact that he, like many other young people, were operating in a situation where they just felt it was very, very dark all around them. And what they needed, or as he puts it, some lights that would in other people's lives help them. Lights And Dr. Harding's words that would help them to see the possibilities for themselves. I've always felt that one of the things that we can do badly in our educational process, he says, especially when working with so-called marginalized young people, is that we educate them to very quickly figure out how they can get out of the darkness, get into more pleasant situations, when what is needed, again and again and again, are more people like Jean, who will stand in the darkness, who will not run away from those deeply hurt communities, and will open up possibilities that other people can't see in any other way except seeing it through human beings who care about them. When we teach our young people to run away from the darkness rather than open up the light in the darkness, to be the candles, then we're doing great harm to them and the communities they have come out of. When I look at this cityscape behind me here, for those of you who can see it, I think about the comments of many over and over and over again of, I can't imagine how hard it is to raise kids in the world today. Think about Mary's song and our singing This Little Light of Mine. Because I believe that they challenge us to be realistic about naming difficult circumstances, facing who we are as communities, as cities, as families and schools, not to run away from them, not to remain silent about them, or complacent, or ignorant. Because we can spend all our time even just constantly reacting to the behaviors of others. Or we, as people of faith, can be determined to take the gifts that God has given us and let our light shine. We can join our voices and our lights. Yes, if you haven't, I know you've all noticed the Advent wreath. It's got a lot of fire this year. It's to help us remember that our lights are going to shine. We know what it means to be part of what God is doing in this world. And so we must join our voices together to sing of the salvation God has promised, to sing for the joy for what God is already doing, to sing of the day God brings, to sing for the light of God that burns in all of us. Gates Presbyterian Church, we're going to let it shine. Amen. Thank you.
It's kneeling before God. We'll take that. Happy candle. We come at this time to share our prayers of joy, our prayers of concern. How can we raise these prayers, hold them with one another and with God? Eva, there we go.
Cheryl Fennell. Last week I had mentioned a friend with pancreatic cancer, and unbeknownst to me, he had passed away a week ago Saturday evening. But peacefully, and that's what we're most grateful for.
Prayers for his family and all his friends. Any other prayers this morning? Yep. Okay, there we go.
Yes, Peter Derry, prayer of joy. My sister was released from hospital and is resting comfortably at home.
Continued prayers for her healing, Peter.
And we ask for prayers for our daughter, Shelley Fitzgerald, who will have her double mastectomy on Friday. And what better place than here to pray for a miracle in the pathology report?
Prayers for Shelley, for her whole family, as you continue to surround her with love in her upcoming surgery. Prayer right here. Any others?
Hi, Ginny Barley. I've prayed a couple of times for a boy named Cole who had a bone marrow transplant. This is definitely a prayer of joy. He is home and back to school. All is well for now. Thank you.
Thanks be to God. And with our children, good job. Thank you.
Janice Bilolavik. I'd like prayers actually for my sister and her husband. They had a chimney fire in their home, and there was a lot of damage, at least around the chimney and the roof and the attic. And they didn't have insurance, so it's a farmhouse, and luckily they are all right, but my sister is unable to move herself, so he had to get her out of the house before he could get help. And so they just need a lot of prayers to get the place fixed up. And for any of you, I've been asked about George. They really don't know what's going on with him. He's had some infection. They're treating symptoms as they appear and still testing and looking and trying to figure out the source of what's going on.
Continued prayers for George and for that family. And with our children this morning, their prayers of joy, their prayers of concern. Prayers of joy for decorating for Christmas with family, for doing well on tests, and for family birthdays, and prayers for grandparents who are sick. Let us continue our time of prayer. Merciful God, Mary's song can be heard through the ages, drowning out the din of Christmas chaos. May it be heard by the victims of violence, those in Cairo, in Istanbul, in Mogadishu. May it ring in the ears of the traumatized in Syria and Iraq and Afghanistan. May her song sing in the hearts of those in refugee camps in Lebanon and Jordan, in Greece and Turkey. May her song be an earworm of hope for all those standing strong for land and water rights. May it be the rally cry of peace for war-weary nations. May it nourish hope in the bellies of those fearful of failed harvests. And may it be a song that stirs reverent fear in the hearts of those who assume power. And may the joyful promises of justice and overturned power fill all our hearts to overflowing action in all the ways your light shines through us. In the name of the light who is to come, we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. With joy, let us receive and offer this morning's offering.
with me. God of grace and love, it is with delight to give these gifts to you. We ask you to accept this offering as a token of our abiding love and use it to bring peace, justice, and comfort to everyone in the world. Amen.
Our benediction this morning. Get your lights. Say,
this little light of mine, I'm gonna let.